on this pulpit lately. I've listened to Pastor Asper preach. I've listened to Tim McVeigh preach. And I'm sure that the caliber of the men that have preached in this pulpit are much higher caliber than I am. But I thank God that he saved me as a young man. He saved me out of things that many of you have been saved out of. He saved me from things that many of you went through. And I'm thankful for that. I want to tell you just a little bit why I'm standing here. Your pastor sent me a text while I was on the way down to Erie, Pennsylvania to meet a man that I admire that has a ministry. He's come to this church to help. It's called the Helps Ministry for him. His name's Terry Ireland. We were going to Erie to meet them, him and his wife, for dinner. Your pastor sent me a text and he said, God's been laying me on his heart to preach this service. And I, my response was, well, let me pray about your idea. And my response would have been to him, I'm not interested. I haven't preached in 2 years, so I feel a little rusty. And again, like I said, I've listened to Pastor preach, and I am definitely not of the same caliber. Well, as you guys know, he's a pretty determined man, isn't he? I sent him that text, and then I sent him another one and said, well, is there any topic or subject that you want me to preach on? And within 5 minutes, he's on the phone calling me back. It's like, nope, you have carte blanche. You can preach on anything that you want. He said, I don't care if you preach on something I don't agree with. I'm like, that's interesting. Never heard a pastor tell me that before. He said, if God lays it on your heart to preach about Baptist preachers possessed by the devil, then you go right ahead. So if you take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 5, verse number 15, we'll be talking about how you can know if a Baptist preacher is a raving lunatic possessed by the devil. No, I'm just kidding. You know that new shower that we just put in? Now, Pastor just went through this whole spiel telling you that it was for Youth Week. It's not for Youth Week. It's not for a prophet's chamber. It's for all you shower singers out there for your new solo debut. We're working on the PA system this next week for back there so that when, you want to sing, but you don't want everybody seeing you, and you feel more comfortable back there in the shower, we're okay with that now. We don't have to see you back there. I put a door up and everything. Yeah. It's not just a curtain. Now, I was working at Mrs. Haynes and Pastor Haynes. I say Mrs. Haynes first because, I really like Mrs. Haynes. And I accidentally was singing a couple of times while I was there throughout the week, putting in their new shower. Mrs. Haynes says to me, she goes, how come I never knew you could sing? I would have used you during church. And I said, you still don't know that I can sing. Well, if you'd really turn to your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, verse number 1, we'll get to the serious part of the message here. Let's pray while you're turning there. Lord, I just pray that you'd hide me behind the cross, that your Holy Spirit would speak through me. Lord, this message you laid on my heart, I never thought that I'd have the opportunity to preach it. I don't understand why this message is to be brought to this congregation while they kick off their Youth Week. I just pray that you would use it to challenge each and every one of us, Lord, to encourage us. Lord, and if there's anyone here who's already been prayed, that's not saved, who doesn't know you, hasn't made that decision, hasn't committed their life to you, hasn't been broken before you, I pray that today would be that day. We ask these things in Christ's name. Luke 5, verse number 1 is where we're going to start at. I put these little pink tabs in my Bible, because this Bible is kind of small. This is the first King James Bible that was ever given to me. I've read this book forwards and backwards multiple times, this particular one. And I have a much bigger Bible now that has a much bigger letters in it, you know, because my eyes aren't what they used to be when I was 16 years old when I first got saved. I've had this Bible since 1983. It's in pretty good shape. I kept it in a cover, but that doesn't mean that it hasn't changed my life. I put these little tabs in here so that I can find the verses. I got five of them in here. One of them I already given you, the second one we're at right now. So, but I have a friend here. You see what color those are, Paul? They're pink. Remember our conversation last week? I specifically used them just for him because I knew he was going to be here to be an encouragement to me. So maybe I'm going to be a little encouragement to him. We're going to talk about Peter this morning. How many of you ever have read about the men of God or the ladies of God in the Bible and you just are intrigued by their life and what God did through them and with them? And you know what? Many of them were just like us. They weren't perfect by any means, right? I mean, you guys have read about Peter, right? You know about his life. He wasn't perfect, was he, in any way? Not at all. Well, we're going to talk about him. We're going to talk about him and what God did with him. We're going to start from our first time we meet Peter throughout the ministry of Christ. And we're going to we're just going to share what Peter and what Christ did and what Christ did in Peter's life. And I just want you to be encouraged by what Peter can, what Christ can do with a person like Peter. Because I liken myself sometimes to be like Peter. Peter was a little bit arrogant, a little loud-mouthed. There's a lot of the things that we're going to talk about that Peter was. Let's read a couple of verses here. It says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little for the land from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, as thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were on the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the drought of the fishes that they were taking. I made us read that portion of the scripture because it's interesting that this happens twice in Peter's life. And I didn't realize that until just recently. And this is where this message came from. And we'll get to the second time that this happens, but let's talk about Peter a little bit, because, I mean, we all read the Bible. I don't think there's too many of us in this room that don't know a little bit about Peter. So, I like class participation. I'll ask some questions, and there's no real wrong answer. We'll just kind of work around that. So, what are some of the things that you as a congregation know about Peter? Don't be bashful. Seriously.
He denied Christ.
He denied Christ, yeah. How many times did he deny Christ?
Three times.
Three times, right? That's pretty interesting, isn't it? How many times do we do that in our life? What else do we know about him?
He walked on water.
He walked on water. That's interesting, isn't it? How many of you walked on water before? How many of you run even one step on water? How many of you think that's a bad thing with Peter, what happened? That story about him walking on water. I mean, because a lot of us think about Peter when he walked on water, he sank, didn't he? He didn't just walk on water, he sank.
Yeah.
Didn't he? Well, what happened? Why did he sink? He took his eyes off Christ, didn't he? How often do we do that?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Right? You know the great thing about Peter was the walking on water? Out of all 12 of them, he's the one that asked. He had the faith to step out of that ship and walk on the water. Doesn't matter if he walked 2 steps, 10 steps, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter that he sunk, he was the one that had the faith to do it.
Right.
Right?
Amen.
What else do we know about Peter? What's that? I'm sorry?
He went up on the mountain
transfiguration. Yes, he did. Amen. Didn't keep his mouth shut up there either, did he? How many times did he have a problem with that? What else did he do? There's tons of things that Peter did. I'm sorry? He didn't want his feet, just his feet washed. What else did he want? He wanted his hands and his head. Yeah. He was being a little arrogant there, maybe, wasn't he? How many times are you arrogant? Huh? Christ wants to do something in your life? Well, Lord, I want you to do this too. What else do we know about Peter?
On the rooftop when he had the vision of the sheep being let down with, filled with all kinds of animals.
Okay, you're getting ahead of me, Pastor. Do you remember in the first part where we talked about this is between Christ's ministry here and the first meeting of, we'll get to that kind of stuff. But plus, we're trying to stay on a timeline. Remember Pastor talked about a timeline? We went right over here and started saying about the timeline. We're going to talk about a timeline now. We're going to stay between Christ's death and resurrection and the first time we met the man. That's good though. What else do we know about Peter?
Disciple.
I'm sorry?
He was a disciple.
He was, right? One of the 11 that made it through. Right? Because one of them didn't. All 12 of them were chosen. But only 11 of them made it through. What else do we know?
He cut off a man's ear.
I'm sorry?
He cut off a man's ear.
Yeah, he cut off the high priest's servant's ear, right? He was impulsive. Woo! Man, he had a sword, and he thought he was something special. He was probably trying to lop the guy's head off, but, you know, wasn't very good with that sword either, was he? I mean, how are you going to kill a guy by cutting his ear off? Come on. What else do we know about him?
He was at the transfiguration of Christ.
Yes, he was. And he didn't keep his mouth shut there either, did he? Because what else do we know?
He reverted to swearing when he was denying Jesus.
I'm sorry?
He reverted to swearing when he was denying Jesus.
He did. Yes, he did. During his denial, he reverted to swearing. Reverted to back to some of his ways. Because I'm sure that you know that we just read here in Luke 5 that he was a fisherman, right? And I don't know if any of you ever watched that show of the fishermen that go out. They're pretty rough people, aren't they? Can you imagine Peter was a pretty rough guy? He probably would have smacked somebody upside the head if they needed it or upset him just like they do on that show. You know, it's not uncommon for those kind of people to be a little rough. What else do we know about Peter? You did. And we're going to get to that too. We know he's a fisherman, and Christ told him that if he followed him, he was going to make him a fisher of men. Right? How often do you want to be a fisher of men in your own life? Sharing the gospel with others. He's the only disciple and the only man that I know of that Jesus Christ called Satan. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan."
That's right.
Right? Why did he say that? Why did Christ say that to him? What was Peter telling him at the time? Do you remember? Wasn't going to die, right? Wasn't going to go through the crucifixion for our sins. Let's see. I got a whole list here. I'm just reading down through and make sure that we got all of them.
He was an escape artist.
He was an escape artist?
He was in prison.
Yeah. Again, we're jumping ahead on the timeline. But there's no bad. I'm getting there. You're in Luke, right? Uh-huh. Let's flip over to 22, Luke 22, 31, 33. It says in Luke 22, 31, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Jesus saw something in Peter that maybe others didn't, that he was a leader. Maybe not necessarily the best leader, but Jesus prayed for him that he would be a leader, that he would strengthen the brethren. Has God ever asked you to do something that maybe you felt uncomfortable doing, or maybe you didn't feel like you were qualified to do, or maybe not as worthy? Me standing behind this pulpit today is something that I don't feel like I'm qualified to do. But your pastor is relentless, and I know that he would have not taken no as an answer, so that's why I'm here. And he prayed for me.
Amen, brother. Yes,
right?
Sir. Yes, sir.
And I know there's other men that are out there praying for
me.
Yeah,
amen, brother.
You know?
Yep.
And I love that.
Amen, brother. Yes, sir.
Let's fast forward real quick to the end of Jesus' ministry here on earth. Okay? Crucifixion has happened. The resurrection has happened. We're going to go to John chapter 21. And I love to fish, so this statement stood out to me. And I've never seen this. I've been saved for over 30 years now. I've never seen this. I've read this 100 times and I've never seen this. And you know what? If you've seen it before, then glory to God, but I'm thankful that he showed it to me.
Hey.
It says in John 21, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples." That little verse right there just said that there's seven of the 11 men with Peter. And you know what Peter says to him in the next verse? He said, "Simon Peter said unto them," the seven disciples that were with him, "I go a-fishing." That little statement right there stood out to me because I love to fish. It's like an obsession with me. And I thought to myself, you know what? That's interesting. What's really interesting is what Jesus does next. Jesus shows back up at Peter's workplace because Peter wasn't just going fishing like I go fishing for relaxation. He was going back to what his roots were. Right?
Right.
Jesus didn't want him to.
That's something.
Isn't that something?
Yes, sir.
It is.
Good, brother. That's real good.
And what did he do? He goes out in verse number 3, and it says, they went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught, what does it say?
Nothing.
Isn't that amazing? That's the same thing that happened back in Luke 5:1, right? Went out fishing all night long, didn't catch anything, right? And then Jesus shows up. And what's Jesus do? He's on the shoreline, right? What's he tell them to do after that? Drop the net on the right side of the boat, right? And they draw in, how many fish? How many fish does it say? Huh? 153. Our Pastor Asquith would have a blast with that number. I'm sure it means something. God didn't just say 153 for no reason. The only thing I know about it is it's a prime number. That's the only thing I know about it. And that's how many fish they caught. How many times do we go back? How many times do we want to go back? How many times has Jesus appeared to us? Maybe not physically like he did there. But he comes to us in the form of a pastor, a friend, a missionary, an evangelist. And he says to you, not just like what he said to Peter, but he says, Peter, and I've heard this portion of the scripture in John 21 preached multiple times about feeding my sheep. But Jesus had prepared him for what he wanted him to do. And he said, Peter, do you love me? He asked him that 3 times.
Right.
And each time, his response back to Peter was, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. He had a purpose for Peter's life. Right? If you're sitting here in Black Creek Church right now, and you're saved, genuinely saved by Jesus Christ, Jesus has a purpose for you also.
Amen. Yep, sure does.
And he doesn't want you fishing anymore. You understand what I'm saying? He wants you feeding the sheep. He wants you doing whatever he's called you to do. And I don't know what that is. It doesn't mean they're called to be a pastor, a missionary, or an evangelist, or anything. Maybe it's just you're a pianist, and God wants you to play the piano for him.
Amen.
Whatever it is. Maybe you just have a testimony that he wants you to share with somebody. Maybe your neighbor. Maybe you have a compassionate heart, and there's others that are hurting, and they need somebody to come alongside them and encourage them and uplift them. How many times does Jesus have to come to you and say, feed my sheep?
That's good.
Maybe he's telling you today. Maybe he's challenging you today. I know while I prepared this message and read this portion of scripture, God is just beating on my heart saying, Mike, you need to be doing more for me.
Amen.
You need to be doing more for me. I needed to deal with some things in my life. Some bitterness, some anger. Will you flip to just one more passage of scripture? It's just over a couple of pages in Acts. And there's so many things that Peter got to do. Well, probably some of the greatest things that he did was right here in Acts chapter 2. At the day of Pentecost, he had to stand up and preach. Mm-hmm. Didn't he?
Yeah.
And many people get confused and think that this is the first time the Holy Spirit was given to Peter.
No.
It wasn't. You go back to John chapter 20, you'll find out that Jesus, the second time he appeared to his disciples, gave them the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Right.
But the Holy Spirit came into that area and just was powerful. And Peter preached something that if we would just get back to, and I know that it's preached here in this church, but if we would just get back to it, I know it would change the face of America. I know it would change churches. I know people would be getting saved. We've gotten away from what these simple verses right here in chapter 2, verse number 37 and 38. It says, now when they had heard these things, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If we would just be teaching the resurrection of Christ, the repentance of sin, the obedience of baptism, the remission of sins, and the promise of the Holy Ghost, we'd be changing the world.
That's right.
But oftentimes we're not at all. The gospel is so watered down nowadays, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
Amen, brother.
You know, that word remission, we often hear it nowadays in modern day terminology. Remission is thought of oftentimes with cancer, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's very rare. Paul Park will attest that they'll ever tell you that you are cured of cancer, right? It will almost always will tell you that it's in remission.
Right.
Right? It's still there. Sin is still there in our bodies. Just like cancer is for a patient. They've just been cured. For how long, we don't know. And that's the same thing with sin. Sin is in our bodies. It's there. We're going to fight it the rest of our lives while we're here on this earth. No matter what. We're going to fall. We're going to mess up. Just like Peter did. He denied Christ 3 times, right? And he wept, right? I mean, how many times do you feel like you've been beat down? I can imagine Peter felt like he was beat down to the ground, right? And Jesus didn't come along and beat him up. Mm-hmm. He just said, feed my sheep.
Yeah.
Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Right? Jesus isn't like everybody else who wants to kick you when you're down. Right? He loves us. This week when we're going to have the meetings and the teenagers here, and there's going to be probably some rowdiness that goes on and some fun and craziness and maybe even some things that you might not approve of and some actions that will happen, just remember that those are Jesus' sheep.
That's right.
Yes, good, brother.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
And he wants you to feed him.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And that might mean just being a testimony and not getting angry at him.
That's right. Yeah.
And loving him. I was one of those teenagers. And I'm thankful that there's men of God and women of God that love me through the hard times of my life. Very thankful for that.
Amen.
It made a huge difference in my life, just like Pastor Haynes said.
Yeah.
Didn't always know how to help me. Sometimes it was just a hug.
That's good, brother. Yep.
Or to tell me they're praying for me.
I like it, yes, sir.
Sometimes I even need that as an adult.
Yes, sir.
Yep. I had a good friend just recently tell me that they love me and they're praying for me.
Amen.
When I was going through a tough spot. And it means a lot.
Amen.
And sometimes that's all it takes, folks.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes that's what Jesus wants you to do. That's your feeding of the sheep. It's just be that person that says, I'm praying for you and I love you.
Yes, thank you.
That's all I have.
Amen, brother.
Thank you, Pastor.
That's all we have. What a day. Pastor, come forward.